Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Star Dish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hi, this is Michael Knight, Ted Martin from All My Children. If you're listening to Star Dish, you're in the right place at the right time.
Hi, this is Katie McLean, and I'm on Star Dish Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Star Dish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is November 3rd, 2008. I'm your host, Joanne. The number here is 347-945-5423. Please call in and participate with the guests on the phone as well as in the chat room provided. November 6th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, High School Musical comes to Star Dish Radio with actor Bart Johnson, who plays Coach Jack Bolton, father to Troy, who is played by Zac Efron. And then Friday, November 7th, 2008, TV host extraordinaire Bob Guinea will be joining me to talk about the final Super Soap Weekend and Rock the Soap Cruise that will be taking place in March of 2009. That will also be at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as well, so make sure you guys check that out. I got Tony on the line. Hey, Tony.
Hey, Joanne. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Man, I'll tell you, I've been burning up the phone lines for the last 2 hours. I had just been calling two other shows tonight, talking to actors on the show. I called Buzz Woody Radio already this evening to talk to our friends in the Bell and Matthew. They had Julie Benz, who played Rita Bradley on Dexter, on the Showtime series Dexter.
Oh, okay.
She was on it.
Very good.
Yeah, she was on earlier. And then just about a half hour ago, I talked to Shannon Kane, who plays Natalia on All My Children.
Oh, wonderful.
Over on Soapbox, which is hosted by Leah and David. And Erica over there.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, let me get over here. We got Brandon on the line. Brandon?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Brandon. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How are you?
Good.
Oh, we're doing wonderful. Listen, so tonight's guest is a dear friend of Star Dish Radio, and there's really nothing more to say to her but welcome back, Katie McLean.
Hey.
Yay.
How you doing, Katie?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fantastic.
Hey,
glad
Katie.
You were able to call in.
Hey, yeah, it's my pleasure.
So we got Brandon and Tony on the line.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, Katie, what's going on?
Oh, good stuff.
I hear
you. You know, keeping out of trouble off the streets. I'm going to vote tomorrow. You guys voting?
Absolutely.
You bet, you sweet ass I am.
Excellent.
I can't wait.
Excellent.
Blogs have been so passionate. I mean, I'm getting a really big kick. I have been getting a kick out of reading them. And tell me, what day did you realize that Obama was the guy that you were going to go for?
I guess as soon as he lost to Hillary Clinton, or Hillary Clinton lost to him. Well, that was a Freudian slip. You know, I was very, very pro-Hillary. I was just really excited about the possibilities of her, you know, making it to the presidency. And, you know, I had friends and people I knew who were extremely pro-Obama. And, you know, I heard their thoughts on the matter. And I could completely see their point of view. He's an obviously educated and inspiring man, but at first he was not my person that I felt passionate about. And over time, over these last few months since he won the my brain is dead.
The Democratic nomination?
The nomination, thank you very much. It's still in for me. My brain is like Swiss cheese, you know. There's just wormholes running all through it. Since he won the nomination, you know, I've spent a lot of time, you know, watching the various programs and biographies and reading stuff in all the various magazines and newspapers. And, you know, I think he's an extraordinary man. I think that he's a very unique individual that could really help us have a new start in a way to mm-hmm. our country's history. And I think we kind of need that, you know. I think we're kind of burned out on the ways that we've been going and the, you know, I don't know what the right word for it is, but it's sort of like
refreshing.
Well, he's refreshing. And
right.
the absolutely, and the old ways are sort of feeling, you know, like everybody cheating each other all the time and taking
right.
advantage of situations all the time. It just
mm-hmm.
that comes out of a lack of respect for one another and a lack of kind of honoring what it means to be human. And
right.
I know that there are things that you have to fight for, and you can fight for them the right way.
Right.
And I think one of the reasons that he's been a hard guy to make fun of is from the beginning, he's fought for things the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect that. I respect and admire it.
Now, how ironic and sad is it at the same time that he took time off of his campaign to go visit his grandmother, and she passes the day before the election?
Well, you know, it's very tragic, absolutely. But in a way, if I was her, you know, I'd want to go before the answer.
You know?
Just in case he lost, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The tension of the whole thing just must have been unbearable. And for her to die knowing that, you know, he's a presidential nominee is must have been an incredible feeling for her. She must have been so unbelievably proud and moved by the situation. I think for him, probably it must be very difficult.
Absolutely. And what are your thoughts on the Tina Fey impressions of Sarah Palin?
Well,
I just wanted to ask that question.
Listen, guys, I think it's hilarious. I mean, this is my opinion and my opinion only, but I think, you know, good on her. Let me see if I can really try to be careful about what I say. This is why I write things down, because, you know, sometimes I at least can edit myself.
Right.
Sarah Palin, in my opinion, is not ready for this level of politics. And I don't agree with her politics. I deeply don't agree with her politics. And I don't, I even think that her political style is contrived. And I think that she, in a way, mocks the very people that she is trying to lift up
mm-hmm.
by her ambition, which is courting, you know, this high position of power while using, you know, the hopes and dreams and the attitudes and belief systems of people who have no power whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And I find when you prey on people like that, which is kind of what I feel that she does in her speeches, you know, she doesn't lift people up necessarily. She kind of caters to their belief systems, and I think she's a big hypocrite. I really do.
Right. I just watched a good 45 minutes of Saturday Night Live, the repeats they were having, and because
yeah,
I never got to see them.
Yeah. Yeah, Joanne, they have NBC is showing a two-hour presentation of the SNL presidential bats, showing the famous clips of the presidential candidates. And,
yeah, it was
cool.
Pretty funny.
Sarah Palin.
She
and
they
have
on.
Sarah Palin on there, too.
Is it on now?
Yeah, it's
yeah,
on right now as we speak.
Yeah.
It's on now as we speak. Hang on a second. I have to.
Yeah, it's on NBC.
On NBC?
Yeah,
I think it's Channel 6 down there, I think.
Hey,
no, Channel 4.
NBC, would you? It's something supposed to be really good on NBC.
It's on SNL Presidential Bash they have.
It's the SNL Presidential Bash. Well, I can't watch it because I'm talking to you guys, but
how?
Yeah.
My fiancé can watch it, so.
Tell him to start recording it.
Yeah, yeah, he'll record it.
Yeah.
So awesome. Awesome.
Now, Soldier's Heart, did it get picked up by HBO?
We don't know yet. We had the screening, and the creative director of HBO was incredibly complimentary and really, you know, supported the film in a big way. And
mm-hmm.
we had a full turnout and, you know, a lot of people there who could do something with it if they felt so moved to. But I feel like it's, again, it's one of those kinds of films that it's so simple and so, I don't know, it just has to be seen by the right people, and that's happening, and that happens slowly, you know? It's easy to sell something with, you know, guns and girls and running around in their bras, but selling a movie about PTSD and the lives of, you know, older Vietnam veteran men is, you know, is a challenging, believe it or not, in show business is a challenging effort. And the thing that I got to see the other night was that it just plays so beautifully on the big screen, and it's just such a beautiful film that I think serves a really important purpose. And again, it's just like that issue of, you know, reminding us of our humanity and how important that is. That
right.
You know, when you go to war, you go through any trauma, but war in particular, you lose, you know, touch with certain parts of yourself. You just have to shut down. Or how could you survive that situation?
Right, right.
And so this film is about kind of reclaiming that kind of more tender aspect of yourself that really is the part that makes life worth living.
And it can be purchased also, correct?
Oh, yeah.
It can be purchased off the website.
Yes, you can go to www.soldiersheartthemovie.com, or you can go to myspace.com/soldiersheartmovie.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see clips from the movie, photographs, behind-the-scenes stuff, and interviews. And there's also a place where you can buy the DVD. And there's also a website, I think it's called Save Our Soldiers. It's a link that's on both of those sites, and it's where if you're a veteran, you can blog and, you know, talk about your experiences, and you can see some, you know, clips of the movie as a part of a sort of a jumping off point to talk about your own experiences.
Right, right.
Pretty cool thing.
Well, yeah, I have to ask the question because it's something that I just have to ask whenever you're here, because rumors are all over the place that you're going to be another one of these guys that come back to All My Children, back from the dead again.
Well, didn't you heard before I have.
Okay.
You know, hey, if the phone rings and they ask me to come back, I would love to. I had a great, great time this spring working on the show and playing the ghost, and it was just wonderful and magical and fantastic. So,
well, the thought process is because JR is really going to need you now that baby's dead. So,
right.
I don't know. All right. Well, I had to put that out there. You know that, because everybody wants to know all about that.
Well,
I'm going to
tell you that how much I appreciate that everyone still supports that, and just to say thank you to everybody. You know, I know that some people get, you know, frustrated by my very strong political opinions or opinions on other things, but it means so much to me that people have watched that show and that character for so long, and I've just, you know, put my whole heart into that, my work there, and I just really, really appreciate the support and the consistent, you know.
Political opinions aside, I mean, they're your opinions. You're entitled to them, and really that has no bearing on the effect that you of the work that you do on the screen, because you've been in the living rooms of so many people for so many years before the blogs and before that. So honestly, if people choose not to support because of political opinions, well, then shame on them. You know, that just gives us more of you. You know what I mean? So whatever.
Yeah,
let them do whatever. I'm going to go to the phones. You ready, darling?
Sure.
Okay. Area code 323. You're on the phone with Katie McLean.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes. Hi, Katie. It's Gregory Martin.
Hey, Gregory.
Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Hey, Gregory.
I'm fine. How are you?
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Doing
Katie,
fine.
You know Gregory Martin is actor, director of Manhattanites.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Manhattanites with Darnell Williams was a co-director, and I wrote it, produced it, directed it, starred in it. Also starred Aidan Turner. Jill Larson was I cast Jill Larson in the film, and
awesome.
I work a lot with daytime actors.
Oh,
but
cool.
But I heard you were going to be on the show, and you were going to talk about politics, and I said, well, you know, I actually MySpaced Joanne and said, hey, is Katie McClain still coming on today, and what are her views? Because I didn't want to, you know, if you believe something different than I did, then I didn't want to come on the line and, you know, make this a political debate. But you do agree with what I agree with, and I just wanted to come on and say it's wonderful to hear when someone is voting for Barack Obama. I'm a major supporter of him.
Yeah. You know, and it's a funny thing. I think, you know, just you saying that makes me feel like, you know, what we're all saying yes to, you know, is something bigger than ourselves, you know, something that we want to feel connected to each other, you know, that we want to get over some of these things that we run into in adult life, like racism or, you know, classism,
right.
That people tell you, oh, there's nothing that can be done about that. That's just the way things are. And, you know, you kind of hope, and especially when you're younger, you know, in your lifetime, that things like that will change. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I've felt, you know, a sense of a bit of despondency about those things not changing, you know. I mean, I had an African-American boyfriend at one point, and we walked up the street together holding hands, and, you know, people would, you know, this is in the 90s in New York City. I didn't think anybody would bat an eye, but, boy, we had some trouble sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
It was really shocking to see people's response to that, even in, you know, whatever it was, 1995. I mean, you know, it's nice to see that times are actually finally changing because so many people want it to.
Oh, certainly.
Well,
yeah,
this is
so
true.
It definitely is. You know, there's this campaign. Just to see, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, with something the drastic support that you know has all throughout our nation for someone, and something that I, you know, it kind of surprised me. I remember in the early stages of this campaign, people would say, "Oh, well, he's not." You know, I heard people say, "I don't think he's going to get very far because, you know, he is, you know, black, or he's half black, or whatever the case is," and that you know, it wasn't the case, and that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. It just shows that how much we have progressed, you know, and that's a great thing.
Yeah. And I was just watching this thing on Frontline, and they were talking, you know, the election '08 kind of biography they did of him and McCain. And one of the things about his personality that even he has spoken about and written about is about feeling like his own identity had been kind of cast to the four winds, and that he was, you know, not 100% black, not 100% white, not 100% feeling like he was attached to America because he grew up in Hawaii. And I suppose he has a very extreme example of all of those kind of opposites that I think belong in everyone to some degree. You know, no one feels 100%, you know, of their place. We all have a sense of separateness within ourselves, and yet because of his extremes, he had to make that special extra effort in order to come to terms with all of them. And that's something very unique that he's discovered that I think a lot of us, and certainly myself included, could learn something from.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Great.
Well,
it's, I just wanted to come on and say hello, and just my hat's off to you for you know, speaking publicly and talking about what your views are, especially since it's for Senator Barack Obama.
Thank you. It's my pleasure, and it's so nice to talk to you, and thanks so much for calling, and I'm very excited that you're out there.
Listen
too.
To this. Gregory, don't go anywhere yet, okay? I have another surprise for Katie. I just got word. Matt, you're on the phone. Katie, this is Matt Borlenghi.
Oh, my God.
There's a set of lips I haven't kissed in 17 years.
Oh, my God. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Oh, my God.
Gregory, you're such a blowhard.
Oh, am I? Well, what's going on, Matt? You were supposed to call in last week with my show. What happened?
I waited for Katie.
Okay.
Good idea. Good move.
Yeah. Matt and I did a film together called Jack Rio.
I think I heard about that. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, we're waiting to see who's going to be the lucky lotto winner and get to distribute it. That's a tongue-in-cheek statement there.
And James Patrick Stewart was also in the film.
Oh, my God, Katie, he was brilliant as my love-to-hate-him obnoxious agent.
Oh, God, I bet he was great in that.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to see it. Wow. Yeah,
you're in New York, aren't you?
I am. I'm a official dyed-in-the-wool New Yorker born in Los Angeles.
That's I heard quite.
Where are you calling from, Matt?
I'm calling from my house.
Are you in L.A.? Are you in La La Land, or are you near there too?
last time I called in, I was calling from my cell phone at a golf tournament, so I never know what the answer is. Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh, cool.
With
cool.
my little 3-year-old daughter lying on the floor looking at me saying, "Why are you on the phone and not playing with me?"
Of course. What's her name?
Katie.
Her name's
Tell
Garland.
Matt about your movie. That
we'll have a real actor conversation. you know, I've been doing some of these independent films too, Matt, and they're a labor of love, and when something ever happens with them, it's beyond thrilling. But
yeah.
The process of it is always kind of like what you're in it end up to be in it for, and a guy that I worked with on this movie called Alma Mater, which I did, I think might have been when you were on the show. Jeez.
Really?
It was like 98 or something like that? Oh, 92. Oh, no. Okay. No, this is later.
I came back for a few weeks in 96, but no.
Okay. All right. This is later. Wow.
So you don't even remember kissing me. My God.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I was like, how did I get so lucky?
Oh, sure. Katie was one of my big crushes, but I never had the cojones to tell her about it because, you know, she was a very serious actor. And I was kind of, thinking, well, I think I got to tune my Harley this weekend in the middle of a scene, so.
Yeah, you had all the fun.
She came from a higher skill set than I did.
Hardly.
My tools are all in a craftsman cabinet in the garage. Hers are in her heart.
Wow, Matt, you had Katie, you had Kelly. Come on now.
Yeah,
he had us at hello. The story of this movie is, there's two. There's one's called Soldier's Heart, which is a movie about Vietnam vets. And
I heard you talking about that earlier while I was on hold.
Ah, okay, cool. And the other one is called Home Movie, and it's with that guy, Adrian Pazdar from Heroes.
Yeah.
And it was him and I and a couple of kids up in Connecticut, and it's kind of a horror movie, and they're showing it. It's being distributed by IFC, and they're doing it as like an on-demand channel kind of distribution on Comcast and Time Warner on the IFC theaters section.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
So it's cool. The most fun thing about it was that the actors held the camera, and
Oh, you're kidding! So kind of like back to a Blair Witch kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. It was a parents making a home movie with their kids who are messed up. Something's wrong with the kids, kind of thing. That's what the sneaky part of the movie is. And he's a reverend, and she's a psychiatrist, and they're trying to fix the kids, and it goes on to get scarier and scarier and scarier. So,
wow.
Yeah, but it was really fun to hold the camera, and been the film's won a couple of awards at something called the Sitges Film Festival. It won this directing award, so I was like, hey.
Yeah, you kind of had a hand in that, no pun intended.
Exactly. I get 20% of that at least.
42 people climbed the stage to accept the award for best director.
Exactly.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, you know.
That sounds really cool. I'd love to see that.
I will find a way to get it to you. It's interesting. It's an interesting piece of filmmaking, and you know, it's good to just keep working. I think it's always been my goal. It's just to longevity.
I hear that. Well, you know what? I just thought of a whole little trickle down theory. Joanne, I had told you that when I got a copy, my hands on a copy of Jack Rio that I could send you, I would. I believe Gregory should have a copy on him that he can send you,
yeah.
And then once you've, you know, had your laughs with it, then perhaps you can pass it straight on to Katie.
Most
and,
certainly.
Awesome. That would be awesome.
And
yeah.
We can do the other way in reverse so that maybe Katie can get her hands on the Vietnam movie or the horror movie and do a reverse pass around with that one.
Absolutely.
It's like recycling.
That's right.
Yeah. It's just the arrows going around in a circle.
I like
absolutely.
It.
Or I could just get a copy to both of them.
Well,
that'll
geez, Gregory, I mean, you're the director. Come on. I think you could scam that up a little bit.
Yeah. Leave it up to the actors
yeah.
to
know,
distribute the film,
but,
you know.
Yeah, really, really. Does our budget allow for that? Because I can't put any more money into the film. I already put
yeah.
up more than half. I can't do another dollar.
I'm only half laughing.
I can spare. I can spare a few stamps for the envelope, but that's.
There's only
it.
One
yeah.
side of my mouth that's giggling at that. The other one is in my head.
No, I can definitely get a copy out too.
Katie, we have some people in the chat room. Sunshine Dixie, she's saying that she saw the movie. The whole movie, and they loved it. They thought it was real. It was a good scary, not gory. They
okay.
thought it was really good.
Oh, awesome.
So people are watching it.
Are you telling me there are actually people besides us four on planet Earth right now? Because
Matt's always
yeah.
had a hard time with that.
I'm looking at the chat room thing right now.
Look at Sunshine Dixie. She's saying, Joanne, can you tell her that Erica loved watching home movie?
And Miranda Duval said previews did remind me of Blair Witch Project.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
See that?
Well, you know, all comparisons to Blair Witch are, as long as it's in a positive way, certainly welcome, because that was a really groundbreaking film. You know, I have a friend who's works with Sundance, and one of the things that he points out about storytelling in, you know, motion media is that because of the multitude of platforms that we have for storytelling now, the more kind of creative you can get with it, in a way, the more excited the festivals and the movie industry, if you will, get about it, because it's the method is almost as important as the entertainment and the message, because it's sort of, you know, fascinating. It's this technology that all of us are in constant communication and recommunication with, you know, looking to see how we can, you know, not only just sell Cheerios through it, but, you know, communicate with each other through it. And you know, like YouTube is one of the most effective platforms for sending out a message, or if you want to put your song out there or sell your movie or whatever. I mean, it's a phenomenon. So you don't have to have a lot of money necessarily to tell a story. It's just being able to tell it in a unique way is the challenge.
And being able to do more than type in happy faces on a computer, which is pretty much the limit of what I can.
Is this why you called in, to check up on the chat room and be the moderator?
Listen, I don't want to take any more of Katie's time.
Yeah.
This is your time to talk, Katie. I just couldn't resist calling in and telling you I still love you, and you know, I'd love to see you sometime, you know.
Absolutely.
in some kind of perfect other world. They'll call both of us to go back to AMC and make out for a little while.
Don't even get us started on that theory. They need so much help, it's sad.
Oh, but, you know, I do love, having watched it a few times, and I've told Joanne before, I do love the look of All My Children now. They're the one show that's gone to using a different type of camera.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the look is so much more interesting than that awful high-density color video that all the other shows use. It's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I would go back just to look half-decent on a soap opera.
I hear you, man. I hear you.
So, listen, Katie, like I said, I love you. It's wonderful to get you on the phone. And I'll go for my shameless plug. You all watch Life on NBC Wednesday night. You'll see a little bit of me there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's the new lineup Wednesday night for NBC right after Knight Rider. So if you want to see my mug, check out Life. But you got to watch to the end because the show goes sideways on me, so.
Awesome. All right.
We'll make
man.
Sure we get you a copy of. We'll get both of you a copy of Jack Reel. I'm going to head out too.
Hey,
nice
Gregory. It's nice to talk to you too, Gregory.
It's good to talk to you too.
Thank you,
all right, guys.
And Joanne.
Yes, darling.
Kisses.
Oh, wow, wonderful! You're making me
blush.
Kisses?
I just took men like 40 years backwards by saying kisses.
All right, guys.
Hanging
you
up. God bless.
Take care, man.
Bye, guys.
Best with your career, Katie. I'm looking forward to seeing more of you, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Take care.
All right, thanks a lot.
Last word of the night, go Obama.
There you guys go. All right.
Bye.
Good night, Greg. Good night, Matt.
Bye.
Oh, wasn't that sweet?
That's
little flashback for you.
Wow, that was great. That was really nice. Matt's a nice guy. He's always such a gentleman and so sweet. So such a lovely guy to work with, you know?
Yeah.
Great energy.
He's been on the show twice so far. It was the first time he was on, he got on for 30 minutes, and it just wasn't enough time to, like, really... You know how this is. I mean, we sit and we talk and we get phone calls or whatever, and it just wasn't enough time in 30 minutes. So he came back for the full hour, and it was a really good time.
Awesome.
Miss seeing him on, regularly on television. So, they're asking in the chat room, Home Movie is on demand through Time Warner Cable and Comcast.
Yes.
So if you have Comcast cable network or Time Warner cable network, which I do, and now that I know that it's on there, I'm going to watch that this weekend, you can get it on demand. There's a section for independent films.
Yes.
So that's where you guys can find it. And they're asking if it's going to come out on DVD.
Yes, it will. Absolutely.
It will be out on DVD, so be patient. Keep checking Katie's website, katiemcclain.com, and I posted her link to her blog also on stardishradio.com. So keep checking everything back, and it'll be out there soon.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, definitely. You're welcome. Are you kidding me? we got a couple more callers. You ready for those?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's go to area code 330. Who's this?
Hi, Katie. It's Michelle.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you? Hello.
Good.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Ned.
First of all, I haven't got to see Home Movie yet, but I saw the previews, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. I don't have either of those cable companies, so I have to wait for it to come out on DVD. But since you're on here talking politics tonight, I have a political question for you.
Oh, cool.
I know you're voting Obama,
yes.
And you know at your last gig, I'm not voting for McCain, but I still hadn't decided whether I was going to vote or not vote. How much do you know about Biden, considering if anything happens to Obama, he's in?
Well, I know that he's been in the Senate for a long time, that he was the head of one of the committees that investigated 9/11, and I remember watching him during that investigation and feeling that he was not only well-informed, but asking a lot of really tough questions of the people that he had to investigate. And I felt a sense of relief knowing that a guy who was that aggressive and demanding for ethical answers was, you know, investigating that situation. And when I heard that Obama chose him, I was, of course, at first disappointed because I thought he should have chosen Hillary. But
yeah.
Then the more I remembered my associations that I had with him and listened to him speak and talk, I think he would make a very fine president if indeed that he had to step up to that position. I believe that he understands government. He understands the way government works and all of the politics that are involved. I think from the beginning of his political career, he's had some very powerful people behind him who believed that he had what it took to do the job. And I think he has, you know, personal resilience. The story about his the death of his wife, and I think it was his daughter or two of his sons were they didn't die, they were in an accident, but his wife died in the accident, and that he was able to get through that without you know, completely losing his mind and, you know, walking away from everything and just going and living up in a tree somewhere. I mean, I think it's pretty incredible. It takes an enormous amount of strength. And I think, you know, belief in the importance of embracing life. And that's something that, you know I struggle with in terms of, you know, whenever I have a disappointment, I you know, sometimes feel like I just want to go away, you know, and just, you know, shut off the rest of the world and turn on the TV, you know what I mean?
And eat your chocolate.
And eat my chocolate, my candy corn, and say, you know, I am not playing no more, you know. And, you know, people who stay and fight for the right thing and fight for what they believe in, and, you know, basically their job is to make our country a better place. And he's stuck it out and fought for it for years and years and years. And I really respect that. I think he'd do a really
Do you think he's a better choice than Obama? I mean, do you think he'd be better at the presidency than Obama? Or?
I can't really say that he. I think he would be just as good if we needed him to be president. I think Obama has a special and unique message for our time. You know, I think he has something that he can impart to every single person in this country and to make them feel motivated to be involved in, even if it's just on a community level, you know, in some sort of form of reaching out to one another to help our, you know, world or our lives become more humane, more not just efficient or successful, but more functional, you know, like where people who fall down on their luck actually do have a system where they can be helped back up again instead of so many people falling through the cracks and you know, looking for help and not finding any. I mean, that's really tragic in a country that is as developed and as ours is on so many levels, you know. So I think Obama is a special person with a special message, and I think Biden will help him a great deal through some of the trickier parts of politics. So I thought he was ultimately a very good choice.
Cool. And before I go, because I know there's probably 20 million other people waiting to talk to you, you made one little girl very happy when you posted her comments.
Oh,
I got a phone call. She goes, Mommy, I answered Katie's blog and she put it on there. She was high. I think she was on a high for like a week. I'm like, okay. I'm like, she's like, when you talk to her, tell her I saw it, Mommy. I'm like, okay, Katie Ann, I will.
That's the sweetest little girl. She's just a darling.
She was so funny. Yeah, she's sending me candy corn to give to you when I see you at your next gig. So can you have one before it gets stale?
Yes.
She did. She said, Mommy, I'm sending Kate. She goes, Mommy, tell Katie I'm sending her candy corn. I'm like, are you really? I said, when I read her blog, do you listen? She only eats it at Halloween.
Well, I'll make an exception in her case.
She's a trip. All righty. Well, you have a good evening. And do you have any gigs coming up soon?
Not yet. I'm sort of taking a little break, focusing on writing for a while. But I will absolutely, you'll be the first to know, I promise.
Alrighty. Alright, bye Katie. Bye everybody.
Bye.
Hi. Katie, what's this creativity workshop you got going on?
Oh yeah. I'm actually teaching not this week, next week and the week after at a place called the Madison Art Barn. It's something that I've been developing over the years. A workshop where I lead a group of people through a lucid dream that is based on a myth of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
The last one I did was based on, in a way, a combination of the myth of the Minotaur in the labyrinth and Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So I take elements out of structured events and make this dream, and in the dream, I ask people lots of open-ended questions, so everyone fills in the gaps in their mind in their own way. And then when everybody wakes up, I ask everyone to write everything down and that they saw or heard or smelled or felt, and we make some kind of art out of it. Some people write a song, some people write a poem, some people do a storytelling piece, some people did a dance piece, someone created a woman who was a musician who wanted to try something really new, did an animal out of it, and I don't know if you know what an animal exercise is, but it's where, it's an actor thing where you kind of pretend to be a certain animal, and the mind is such a interesting, Swiss cheese area.
Right, right.
You know, there's all sorts of funny little holes and caves and things that come wandering up at the mere suggestion. So this is a way of accessing your imagination with a structure that, so you don't feel like you just have to pull something out of nowhere. There's a little structure, and being guided through a dream is like basically somebody holding your hand in a way through your imagination. And there's a lot of work been done on archetypes and mythology and dreams. You know, Joseph Campbell and Carl Jung, pretty much the gurus of that of our time. And Freud also did a bunch of, you know, work on it, and plenty of other authors that have written about this, and their sort of belief is that we all have very similar, structures within our, mindset as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And when we don't get to experience certain rituals, like a real basic one of, going from being a boy to a man, some sort of initiation ritual that marks that, we stay stuck in some place in our psyche, in our childhood. And
right.
My experience with that has been, certainly through my own traumatic experiences of staying stuck in the past and wanting to sort of free myself from that. And so there's ways of going into your imagination and creating kind of characters and creating rituals where you can guide yourself even through some of these dreams in order to evolve personally. And that's the whole kind of point. You can do it as a personal healing thing. You can do it as a creativity thing. But it's a really fun way to interact with your imagination and your subconscious.
Right.
So that's
it sounds completely it sounds fascinating. I know Brandon wanted to touch on a few soap questions. Brandon?
Hey, Katie.
Hey.
Listen, I'm a big fan of yours, and I have been for a long time, and you're one of those rare stars who achieved a great level of success on more than one show. And I wanted to ask you a couple of As the World Turns questions, if I could.
Sure, absolutely.
You were a sensation over there for years, and they've recently recast the role of Craig Montgomery. I don't know if you heard, with an actor named John Lindstrom, who was on General Hospital for a time.
Yes, I did hear.
I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about that, any thoughts about why the second time around with Scott Bryce and your whole storyline with him and Paul didn't really work the second time around. I'm wondering just if you have any general thoughts on any of that.
Well, I think John is a terrific actor and a lovely man. And I think that he's going to bring something really fresh and unique to the part. The producer's challenge is to keep control of the show while, allowing it to grow. And that's very difficult. I suppose it's sort of like a parent. And I think that Chris's challenge and his experience with the show has ebbed and flowed, just like any parents with their child, and his way of creating change is sometimes to recast. I mean, that's his prerogative to do that. It's his show, you know.
Yes.
So it's a way of changing the dynamic between just by changing an actor, you know, changing a dynamic between characters. Suddenly, you know, it's suddenly. Been affected because there's a new face in the part, because different actors will have different chemistry with each other. And so, I thought Scotty was terrific and just a lovely guy. But we honestly didn't really have the greatest writing, honestly. Hogan was unbelievably talented, and that team was inspired, you know, that wrote for me when I was on at that period. And you know, I was disappointed by the writing when I was on the last time. I felt like it really didn't take the most recent history or the whole sort of life of the character that I created into consideration. But again,
yeah, it was just kind of strange how the four of you got stuck in a hole a little bit and kind of got islanded into your, it was like you were doing your own show separate from the rest of the cast, and it was so strange that none of you really interacted with your family, or just the characters that you would think that you would interact with on, if not a daily basis, regularly. You didn't really, you just interacted with the four of each other.
Right.
And it was just kind of strange and flat. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, that's there's all these pressures on a show that the audience can't know about, and of course, that's not the audience's problem, but you know, the audience should get what they want. But in trying to give the audience that, there are certain budgetary obstacles, and being able to get all those four, you know, top-hitting actors working with all the rest of the cast, that's a very difficult balancing act.
Yeah.
You know, it's a big cast, it's a lot of people, and that structuring of story, I wouldn't be surprised if they were trying something new in terms of, okay, we can control the cost of the story by keeping these actors in the storyline and these actors in the storyline.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it was very similar with what was his name? The gay storyline with the two guys.
The Luke and Noah story?
Luke and Noah, yeah. They seemed very much in their own world to a certain degree. You know, they came out and interacted with some of the other characters. But, you know, I hear you. I hear you. I know that was a rough go. And
I just think that even given the budgetary concerns, and I completely understand that, and, you know, anything that keeps the shows on the air is fine by me, but you could at least in the scripts kind of mention the fact that, you know, Craig has two sisters on the show, and you had a cousin, and I mean, you could at least mention each other in ways that don't cost anything, and kind of give the illusion that you're still a family and still live in this community, if you understand what I'm saying. I didn't really.
I do, and I completely agree with you. I mean, that is the thing that it makes these shows unique, is this family history, the long-standing connections with each other that the characters, you know, go on for years and years and years. And, I mean, that's why people watch soaps and, you know, and feel a sense of satisfaction and comfort and enjoyment because of that sense of continuity.
Exactly.
And when it's betrayed, it feels like a big betrayal. I mm-hmm. absolutely hear you.
Just because it's 5 days a week, it's an hour a day, you get so much more of a personal connection to the characters, the stories, the show.
Yep.
Because it's every day. I mean, you go, but you return to the same place every day.
Yep. I hear you. And you know, I know that I've heard people talking about, you know, trying to keep the shows on the air, trying to, you know, meet the budgetary restrictions, you know, trying to keep the ratings up, trying to get in the new demographic. I mean, just, you know, a million different, or trying to, you know, like All My Children is trying to change the whole kind of mood of the show, and they have. It's a completely different show, and it's Julie's show. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
her vibe, you know, and you know, Chris has I think tried to do that at times, and has, but at the same time still ultimately stayed very loyal. You know, he tried the whole handheld camera thing, and I think I mean, I'm speaking for him, I don't know, this is nothing he said to me, it's just my guessing this, but you know, through my experience watching it kind of unfold in front of me, you know, the decision to try to go back to remaining loyal to the viewers who have always watched it. I know that's been a big theme with As the World Turns.
Yeah.
And how are they doing now, do you think?
I they're doing okay. I mean, they have the Martha Byrne recast has been pretty rocky on viewers, and but you know, they've brought Dusty back, and it seems like they've got everything back on even keel. So we'll see.
Good. Well, that's good.
And you know, speaking of All My Children, speaking of personal connections and family and loyalty, I was wondering if I could get you to talk a bit about a great spirit who passed on recently, and that's Eileen Hurley.
Mm.
I know that she was very close to all the cast, especially the young people of All My Children.
Mm.
And I know you shared a great many scenes with her over the years, and I was wondering if you could talk about working with her and just being around her.
Mm, yeah. Boy, Eileen was a treasure. I mean, she was, when she was alive, she was very alive.
Mm-hmm.
And very devoted and professional. You know, certainly nothing about her that was a diva or difficult, but she had class, you know. And I deeply respected her, and whenever I worked with her, just basically tried to follow her lead, you know, let her run the scene and, you know, give her her due. She, you know, was a kind of a standard for how to age and still really have a great sense of participating in life.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, I mean, my God, she was 90 years old, and she was
mm-hmm.
still working on the show and coming
mm-hmm.
in with her stockings and high heels and her nails done and her hair done and hilarious and ready to go and, you know.
And absolutely gorgeous, just beautiful.
Gorgeous and funny and bright and, I hope to God I could, you know, be that fantastic at the way she was. It was, she was amazing.
And that graceful.
And that graceful,
right.
Yes. God.
Yeah. She's definitely going to be a spirit over there that's going to be missed.
Yeah.
While we're on the topic of All My Children, I had Michael Knight on the show a couple months back, and I asked him a question if he could be with, his character could be with any other love interest besides Dixie, who would he choose? And he chose Liza. Who would you choose?
Oh, as Dixie?
As if Dixie had to be paired up with a long-time love interest besides Tad, who would you choose?
Well, you know, the first person that springs to mind would be David.
Yeah.
Because
he looks so good now. Oh, my God. He's back, and he just looks so good.
It was such a he's got that smoldering Italian thing, you know.
Mhm.
And I remember watching him as it was Lou Jack, wasn't he Lou Jack?
Yes, yes.
On
Guiding
Light.
Light.
Mhm.
And I was a teenager, I think, when I watched that, and I remember thinking, oh, do they make men like that? Then when I met him, I was like, hi. It was really embarrassing. And then, you know, finally we managed to annoy each other enough that, you know, it was just old friends. But he's just a lovely, I mean, and it sounds like everybody's the greatest person in the world, but in my book, but I you know when they're not.
Right.
So, but he really is a really, really lovely man. And in terms of the character dynamic, you know, there was something so great about, you know, the sweet girl with the bad guy, you know?
Right.
And him sort of maturing her and her sort of maturing him and just that sort of back and forth. And then there are the funny little moments where they would find tenderness. There was moments where that really worked, and I really enjoyed the years that we had playing that.
Well, this would definitely be the right time to bring Dixie back then, because he's a hot mess now, and he could definitely use some spiritual guidance, because he's wanting to kill everybody and their mother on that show right now. So it would be a perfect time for you to come back. We got 2 minutes left. Katie, thank you so much for coming back on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. Anytime, always welcome. I'm going to email you some information regarding that and those movies. And keep me updated what's going on with Soldier's Heart. And everybody go to katiemclain.com/blog. Check out Katie's blog. Add it to your site. I did. And go purchase Soldier's Heart. And that link is also up on my site. And, gosh, I don't know. I'm just so excited that you called back in, and just know that you're always welcome.
Thank you so much, Joanne. It was awesome. It was great being here. And I had a great time. Thank you.
Thank you. And everybody, vote tomorrow.
Katie. Thank you, Katie.
Yes, thank you.
All right, everybody. Thanks from Stardust Radio. We'll see you on Thursday for Bart Johnson from High School Musical, and then Friday – Bob Dinney will be with me at 10 o'clock. So until then, make sure you vote tomorrow. Have a good night.
Get out and vote tomorrow, and get ready, Chicago. We've got a big rally tomorrow.
This is Jill Larson on Stardust Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hi, this is Michael Knight, Tad Martin from All My Children. If you're listening to Stardust, you're in the right place at the right time.
Hi, this is Katie McLean, and I'm on Stardust Radio.
This is Billy Miller, and you're listening to Stardust Radio.
This is everybody on Stardish Radio. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Stardish Radio.